Good evening, everyone. For WRCO News, I'm Todd Coppernol. As the U.S. Highway 14 construction project continues to move forward, motorists should prepare for upcoming intersection closures necessary for grading and base preparation. These essential works are required to facilitate the concrete pavement of the highway's eastbound lanes. While US 14 itself will remain open to bi-directional traffic, north and south access through two key intersections will be temporarily restricted. The intersection of US 14 and Bowman Drive is scheduled to close starting Tuesday, August 18th. This will be followed by the closure of the US 14 and County Trunk O intersection on Wednesday, August 19th. Both locations will remain inaccessible during grading operations and for an additional 3 to 4 days after the concrete has been poured to allow for proper curing. To assist drivers during this period, a detour has been established utilizing County Trunk RC and Wisconsin Highway 80. Project officials and Wisconsin Department of Transportation workers thank the public for their continued patience and understanding as these critical infrastructure improvements are completed. The City of Richland Center's monthly large item pickup is Monday, August 17th. Residents are reminded to have eligible items at the curb by 6 a.m. on Monday. Republic Services crews will begin collection Monday and continue citywide until complete. Please note that this is not a multi-pass pickup. Once crews have completed an area, they will not return later in the week. Pickup guidelines include maximum of 5 items per address. Items must be under 50 pounds and manageable by one person. No free-on appliances, yard waste, tires, hazardous waste, or construction debris. Items that exceed these limits or contain prohibited materials will not be collected. Residents with additional or oversized items can contact Republic Services directly to arrange a special pickup at resident cost or transport items to their Boscobel facility. In addition, the city's monthly yard waste collection begins Monday, August 17th. Yard waste is to be placed on the curb, not in the gutter, by 7 a.m. Monday morning. The city streets crew will continue to pick up until all has been collected. Please note that this is not a multi-pass pickup. Once the crew has completed an area, they will not return later in the week. Also, a reminder that only leaves, branches, and brush and garden waste is considered yard waste. Brush and limbs may not exceed 6 feet in length nor 6 inches in diameter and are to be placed with the butts facing the curb. Brush should be stacked in manageable piles. Leaves and grass clippings are to be put in biodegradable bags or open containers. Leaves in plastic bags will not be picked up. Containers will be emptied and returned to the curb. Note, lumber, rocks, landscaping materials, concrete, soil, and sod are not considered yard waste and will not be picked up. Whether you have a large item or yard waste to be picked up, please ensure your vehicle is not parked in the way of the items to be picked up. The city appreciates our residents' cooperation and assistance in keeping the city of Richland Center clean and safe. In a prepared statement, Senator Sarah Kieski provided essential details regarding the BECI 765 kilovolt transmission line project, a significant development proposed for our region. This project stems from a comprehensive plan approved by the Mid-Continent Independent System Operator, MISO, Board of Directors in December 2024, following an open bid process in January 2026. MISO selected Mid-Continent Grid Solutions to lead the construction and management of this new line. The project is ambitious in scope, encompassing a 190-mile transmission line that spans a 9-county region. The proposed route begins at a substation in Bell Center, Wisconsin, extends to the Columbia Energy Center near Portage, continues to a substation in Sugar Creek, and finally reaches the Wisconsin-Illinois state line. Because of the size and scale of this infrastructure, the project will have a lasting presence in our local landscape. Mid-Continent Grid Solutions is currently in a critical phase of seeking public input to help determine the final route for the power line. This feedback is vital as it will inform the formal proposal MGS plans to submit to the Wisconsin Public Service Commission in early 2027. To ensure your voice is heard, it is important to note that MGS seeks to receive initial public feedback by the deadline of September 7th. Landowners and stakeholders who may be affected by the proposed routes should be receiving letters from MGS containing project information and detailed maps. If you have questions or wish to share specific concerns, you can contact the project team directly via email at connect@mgswisconsin.com. Engaging with these resources is the best way to understand how your specific property may be impacted. To facilitate this engagement, MGS is hosting several open houses throughout August. These events offer the public an in-person opportunity to learn about the project, ask questions of the engineers who will be present with parcel-specific technology, and provide feedback on the placement of the line. For those unable to attend these sessions in person, MGS has made an online open house available at mgs-projects.com/BECI, which includes an informational slideshow and online comment cards. Kieski adds she is personally impacted by this proposal. Her community of Lodi stands to be directly affected, and like many of you, she will be receiving a notification letter. While Kieski serves in the legislature, she has no more official say in the process than any other citizen. A high-speed police pursuit late Friday night ended dramatically when a fleeing vehicle drove into Lake Como, according to reports from the City of Lake Geneva Police Department. The incident began shortly after 11 p.m. Friday, August 7th, when officers attempted a traffic stop in the 100 block of Broad Street after noticing a passenger hanging out of a vehicle without a seatbelt. The driver refused to yield, instead accelerating to high speeds and traveling the wrong way down a one-way street. During the flight, the vehicle disregarded numerous traffic signs as it fled into the town of Geneva. The pursuit reached its conclusion at the Schofield Drive boat launch, where the vehicle entered Lake Como and traveled roughly 100 feet into the water before coming to a rest. All four occupants managed to escape the sinking car and swim toward a nearby pier, where they were assisted out of the water by arriving officers. Emergency medical services evaluated the individuals at the scene. Two were transported to a local hospital for further treatment, while the remaining two declined medical care. Authorities identified the driver as 18-year-old Cash Rauscher of Delavan. Rauscher now faces an extensive list of charges, including second-degree recklessly endangering safety, reckless driving, fleeing or eluding a traffic officer, and violation of absolute sobriety, along with citations for operating without a license or insurance, failure to obey a traffic officer, failure to stop at a stop sign, and unreasonable speed. As the Wisconsin deer hunting season approaches, the Department of Natural Resources is issuing a critical warning regarding the use of ash trees for tree stands. The widespread infestation of the emerald ash borer has left ash trees across all 72 counties in a state of decay. In the southern two-thirds of the state, most ash trees are already dead or dying, while northern populations are seeing a rapid expansion of the pest. Because these trees are structurally compromised, they pose a significant danger to hunters. Infested ash trees are prone to unexpectedly dropping large branches or even snapping at the trunk, especially during windy conditions. Bill McNee, a DNR forest health specialist, emphasizes that since it is often difficult to visually confirm an infestation, hunters should simply avoid ash trees entirely when selecting a location for their stands. Safety in the field extends beyond tree selection, as approximately 1 in 4 bow hunters has experienced a fall or near fall from an elevated position. To mitigate these risks, hunters must adhere to fundamental safety protocols. The most vital rule is to always wear a full body harness or fall arrest system and ensure it is connected to a short tether line. This system is designed to keep a hunter safely in their seat rather than catching them mid-fall. Additionally, maintaining 3 points of contact, such as 2 hands and 1 foot while climbing, is essential for stability. Hunters should also utilize a haul line to safely raise and lower unloaded equipment, including firearms and bows, and remain connected to a lifeline from the moment they leave the ground until they return. Beyond personal safety, hunters play a pivotal role in protecting the broader ecosystem by preventing the spread of forest pests and diseases. When traveling to hunting grounds, it is imperative to obtain firewood near the destination rather than transporting it from home. This practice reduces the likelihood of spreading invasive species like the emerald ash borer, spongy moth, and oak wilt. Opting for dry firewood with loose bark or purchasing certified treated wood are the most responsible choices. By combining vigilant tree selection, rigorous stand safety, and careful firewood sourcing, Wisconsin hunters can ensure a safer season for themselves and the forests they enjoy. The Vernon County Sheriff's Office, led by Sheriff Roy Torgerson, remained active during the week ending August 8th, managing a series of incidents ranging from probation violations to significant property damage and ongoing investigations. The week began with the arrest of a male in the village of Viola for a probation violation, followed by proactive responses to public safety concerns, including a report of an intoxicated driver in the town of Whitestown, which was ultimately determined to be unfounded after a deputy made contact with the vehicle's occupants. As the week progressed, the department addressed more serious matters, including a reported battery in the town of Hamburg and a tragic incident in the town of Wheatland, where deputies investigated the death of an elderly male following a UTV rollover. In addition to these investigations, the sheriff's office handled several property and community-related issues. Citations were issued at Sidey Hollow Park after an investigation into bathroom damage led to a juvenile's confession, and a separate citation for dogs at large was issued in the town of Hillsboro after a property owner's chickens were attacked by loose dogs. The week concluded with complex traffic and domestic incidents in Viroqua. Authorities responded to a multi-vehicle accident caused by a tire disconnecting from a passing truck's trailer, an investigation that remains ongoing as the driver was located shortly after fleeing the scene. Additionally, a domestic disturbance in Reedstown resulted in the arrest of a female on charges of disorderly conduct and criminal damage to property. In a proactive move to strengthen the local safety net for mental health, the Richland Hospital and Clinics recently conducted a Safe Talk suicide prevention training session for staff and educators within the Richland School District. The initiative directly addresses needs identified in the 2025 Community Health Needs Assessment, which highlighted mental health support as a critical priority based on extensive public feedback. The four-hour workshop, hosted in the lower level of the Richland Hospital, was facilitated by TRHC's Suicide Prevention Task Force. The Safe Talk program, where SAFE stands for Suicide Alertness for Everyone, is designed to empower ordinary citizens with the skills to recognize warning signs and intervene effectively. Participants are trained in the talk action steps: tell, ask, listen, and keep safe. By teaching these practical maneuvers, the program aims to replace the common feelings of helplessness associated with suicide with the confidence to initiate life-saving conversations and connect those in distress with professional support. Organizers and participants alike emphasize that preventing tragedy is a shared responsibility that extends beyond clinical settings. Representatives from the school district noted that educators are uniquely positioned to notice when a student or colleague is struggling, making this training an invaluable tool for campus safety. Trainers from the Southwestern Wisconsin Community Action Program praised the engagement of the Richland Center staff, noting that their dedication is a testament to the community's resolve to support its members. The TRHC Suicide Prevention Task Force remains committed to expanding these educational opportunities, ensuring that mental health remains at the forefront of community wellness efforts. Vital statistics right after this.